This is the Disc Golf Podcast. No, it's not.
It's a disc golf podcast.
It is a disc golf podcast.
Yeah.
But more appropriately, this is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast, a DeGam Network podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And tonight, we are going to cover the topic of parting ways. Manufacturers and players. So we'll have a good discussion about that. So, JP, what did you buy this week for disc golf?
Oh boy. So my big purchase for the week, well, yeah, it's pretty big. I ended up buying the Black Mystery Box from Discmania.
Mm-hmm.
I missed out on the Red Mystery Box with the MD1,
mm-hmm.
which I'm kind of upset about because I really like the MD. Yeah, like I like the D line. I have C line that I like throwing.
So there's an MD1.
There is an MD1. It was discontinued, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know how far back it went, but I'm pretty sure they just dropped the one and made it the MD.
That's what I assumed. Yeah. The MD1 would have been the MD, but hey, consider me educated.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. So I missed out. I missed the early access, and they ended up selling out. So I hit it up Monday, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. They brought them up, and they made a ton from what I heard. Like, there was 9,000 or so boxes that they're hoping to sell. And I don't know if that includes the European site as well, if that was just the Discmania US store. But
one, you had sent me a quick text or Facebook message, I don't remember, was, hey, there's still some available.
Yeah, and that was at 5 o'clock. That was at 5 o'clock at night.
Jeez, and they released at 10 in the morning, right? For us.
Yeah, 10 in the morning here.
Jeez.
So yeah, that was my big thing.
That's incredible, actually. That is, not to skim over that, but Discmania finally missed the ball on their releases. I don't know if they've ever missed the ball like that before.
I think I think people, I can't speak for everybody, but I think, I don't want to say maybe people were disappointed with the first box,
mm-hmm.
like with the amount of active line plastic or the, what is it? Whatever the attitude's making, I forgot.
Oh, that Royal Line, but they, yeah. Yeah, no. I know what you're talking about.
So yeah, I don't know if people were upset about that. I know there was some in the US store, there was originals X outs. It's like people were getting X out Discmania originals that were made from Innova, and that there are some promised in this box as well.
Okay.
Along with the new Eagle McMahon
Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
two of them.
Flux 2, Flux 3.
Mm-hmm.
Flux 2 is the standard like middle ground. Flux 3 is the more stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. Because when the P2s came out, they came out in Flex 2.
Right.
And I know a lot of people's complaints, they wanted them stiffer.
Yeah. And so, but the prototype P2s were 2.5.
Oh, were they?
Really? Okay. Yeah. So they were a little stiffer than the stock. I like the stock run. That's mm-hmm. what I'm using to putt right now. But yeah, I'm intrigued by the whole new Eagle disc. But I haven't seen like the hype for it. You know, like Simon, when he came out with the Tilt.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of like the creator series. So it was like them creating the disc. You know, Simon had his vlog where he was talking with Tomas Ekstrom about, you know, creating the overstability of the disc. Like Discmania released a video with Eagle like showing it, but mm-hmm. I don't know if they ever showed him like talking about the process of creating this disc, because it is kind of just a variation of the P2 from what I understand.
I hate to use this comparison, but it's the judge to EMAC judge.
Yeah,
is really what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Tomas Ekstrom, so I use that because that's what he did. But they made it a little bit slimmer in profile,
mm-hmm.
and they made it a bit smaller of a bead, right?
No bead. I don't think
no bead.
It's beveled different.
Okay, slightly beveled slightly, different.
Yeah,
okay.
That's from what I understand.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to get those. Won't be shipped out until after January 3rd, I believe.
Sure.
So it could take a while to get, but I intend to bring it here. We can do a unboxing and see what we get.
Great. Yeah. First impressions. You'll get to hear what we think of the discs.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you imagine those are going to be throwers?
Man.
Wall hangers or flippers?
I'd be open to flipping the Rainmakers if somebody really wanted them. Like, if I don't see myself moving off of P2s, but I was going to say,
because I think I've seen you putt with a lot of different putters.
Putter slug.
Yeah.
It was judges, and then.
Yeah, I think you went with maidens for a little while.
Maidens, senseis, PA3s, and now P2s, but I intend to stick with P2s.
Were you not an EV7 guy? You weren't a Penrose guy?
No, I tried one out, and I liked the feel. Like, I had the, I think it was the base medium plastic, and I liked the feel of it. It's solid. Those are solid putters.
Right.
Yeah. And I tried the Phi as well.
Mm-hmm. Is it Phi or Phi?
I have no idea. I'm not sure.
Four or five.
I feel like it's whatever, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
And they have a new disc coming out. They have a new putter coming out as well.
Because of Matt Bell's, right? Bell's putter.
I don't know. It's called the Mobius or something. I think it's a little less. It's a little more understable.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I follow them on Instagram, and so they're posting about it, but I don't remember what the numbers are.
I'm surprised we didn't get any in the shop, like any information about them.
Huh. That's interesting.
Strange. But they've always been a not very orthodox company.
Okay.
Which is fine. I mean, that's great.
They're what, a year and a half, 2 years old?
Yeah, they're not too old.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they've signed some decent players recently.
Right. Yeah. They made some moves recently. Signing the air quotes best putter in the world with Matt Bell. So
yeah,
Cole Rodal. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Cole. Yeah. Yeah. And then Drew sounds like he's staying with EV7.
I think so.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
But so that to get back to the box, but, I guess it'll depend what's inside the box if I throw it or collect it. So we'll have to find out.
Yeah. Sounds like the box is going to be a mystery.
Yes. Except for the discs we know about.
Yeah. It's mystery-ish.
Mystery-ish,
Mystery light. So I personally did not buy anything, but I'll talk about what I bought for the shop.
Okay.
The shop, we got the Yuli Raptors, the Captain's Raptors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we didn't get them. We just ordered them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's going to be very much an MVP syndrome where they're producing what the retailers want.
Oh, so it's a pre-order.
It's a pre-order.
Okay.
So we won't get them till the end of January. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see them. So I don't know if there's really any difference other than the stamp being Captain's Raptor.
From what I've heard, they're supposed to be more overstable.
Yeah, they're going to be the Pro or the X.
Okay.
My arm's not strong enough to throw them anyway. So
right,
they're gonna be sold. But I'm excited. I like Yuli. I think Yuli's an awesome personality, and I'm hoping he gets cuts of these, which I would assume think so. Because he's promoting them hard, and they're the Captain's Raptor. So
yeah,
and so we got 30 of them coming in.
Okay,
so we went with the minimum order because we got stuck with a whole crud ton of Gyropalooza boxes. And they're everywhere still. So I'm sure we'll get through them, but I got wet feet I think wet feet.
That's
proper term.
Yeah.
I'm pulling Brody Smith here. So those for me will be flippers.
Yeah.
Because they are for the shop.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I really got anything else. I got some nostalgia. I was going through my discs the other day.
Yeah.
And I came across my very first high dollar disc I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah. I bought a L64 custom EMAC Truce.
Okay.
Triple foil.
Really?
Yeah. It's nice. Really, really beautiful. So I had some nostalgia, but the amount of money I spent on that will it still hurts me, so we'll call it that. I'm still using that, and I will not flip it. That is a wall hanger.
Yeah.
So, but that's it. And I've sent pictures over to EMAC, and I want him to sign it. He's ghosted me. He left me on red.
No.
Yeah. So
EMAC, make it happen.
I know. If you hear this, I will send it to you. I promise.
Yeah. I kind of had the same thing happen to me the other day. I was going through discs just because I forgot what the reason was. And I was like going through and I was like, oh, I forgot I had this disc, Crowned Eagle MD3.
Ooh.
Yeah. I got it from Josh Hamm.
Oh.
I forgot what the deal was. He was auctioning it off. And he's like, oh, you know, I put in a bid for it and someone outbid me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, I really want this disc. And he got back to me. He's like, buyer backed out. It's like, sweet. And then I was like, okay, are we still on for the same price? He's like, I'll give it to you for like 10 bucks less or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And then that's probably one of the, yeah, that might be, well, you know, I paid a decent amount of money for it.
Yeah.
I also paid, I think, right in that range, like for a Lone Hole one and a Cloudbreaker.
Okay. Original.
Cloudbreaker. Yeah. Cloudbreaker one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really dabble in the expensive discs market. I try to get them when they first come out, and I've been lucky enough because there's a bunch of small retailers around here that get a lot of that stuff. And Mike Harrington, who owns the Disc Golf Experience.
Oh my God.
He has the Disc Golf Vault.
Yes.
And he has some incredible stuff. Like, absolutely. Some of the stuff he pulled out of the vault is just incredible. And you can go online. Shameless plug. He'll probably really appreciate this. But man, he has some stuff that is awesome. And it's true. He has a vault in the basement of his barn or in the lower level of his barn that is just full. And I mean, to the extent that he doesn't even know how many discs he has. And I'm talking like original Firebird, some of the original runs, Prodigy stuff, like you name it. And it's a desirable disc. Probably got them. Yeah. Like four claws, like five claws. Yep. Like, I mean, all those, like, just,
I know I've gone on his site a couple times looking for stuff. I'm like, man.
And that's the stuff he has on the site is just the stuff he's willing to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, he probably has as many discs that he's waiting to drop as we have in our entire store. Like, it's just incredible. Incredible. But, yeah, so my L64 Custom, 1 of 25, that EMAC Truth, ooh, is a wall hanger. Anything else from you?
I'm trying to think. No?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Alrighty.
So, any news or hot topics?
Any news or hot topics? Well, let's see. Well, big news that came out. Nico, West Side.
Yeah.
Parting ways.
Mm-hmm. Right after the extension.
Yes.
The contract extension.
That's, from what I understand, he had signed an extension through 2023, from what I've read. And then I think right before Christmas, Westside announced that they were parting ways. I don't think Nico was, I don't know if he ever officially said anything or if it was just Westside putting it out there. I haven't taken a look closely at any of Nico's like Instagram posts or anything like that.
And that seems to be a little suspect because why and whose decision? It sounds like they're trying to make it out to be mutual. Is it?
Yeah.
Because how do you sign a extension and then can a guy? You know,
right.
I'm assuming they canned a guy, but I have a feeling that, and this kind of segues into our topic. We won't get into it right away. We'll probably talk about this a little more, but you know, Nico, I love Nico. I love course of personalities because I think they bring stuff to the sport and good things to the sport. And I think Nico is one of those guys.
I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
But who's going to pick him up? I think we had this discussion already.
I think he'll roll with an open bag just because he'll go back to what he's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He can get his wizards back.
Yes. But I don't know if anybody's willing to take a risk on him right now.
Right.
You know, we're getting into the season where, if this is mutual that you do that part ways before the season starts, like maybe he is maybe he, I mean, it's possible where he could be like, okay, I got to scramble to find somebody that will pick me up. Or he could just be like, yeah, I'm doing the Nico thing and proving everybody wrong that I can do what I do.
Exactly. And Nico has historically not given a darn about his sponsorships.
No.
He's completely fine running an open bag.
Exactly.
Or even just having, like, was it Diablo discs?
Oh, some Devil? Diablo?
Daredevil discs.
Daredevil,
so
yes.
Daredevil discs. Diablo discs, sorry.
Yeah.
A Daredevil disc. He was in... I mean, he was sponsored by them, but they had a limited amount of discs, so he could fill his bag with whatever he wanted outside of the Daredevil discs. And I even think then probably had slots that filled the same discs. I like it. I mean, we have – there's a bonus episode out there or maybe out there soon where we were just kind of goofing around and got long on a conversation about – being a jerk in disc golf.
Right.
And Nico was one of the focus points.
He was.
And there's a really good story in there about Nico and my brother-in-law. And awesome guy. He awesome is. Guy.
On the course, I think he's completely different than what he is outside. Right. You know?
I think he's hyper-competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
He's hyper-competitive, and it comes out in burst of anger or outrage or... unsavory words.
yeah I know. So we were at Dempsey and I, and we went with John Pash, who's a guy that was up here a couple summers ago, and River who's in our club. We went to Silver Cup 20, so that was last
2019, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because it would have been before COVID.
I think it was like right after COVID, because there was a really limited, I don't know, maybe I don't remember. Nico was there and we wanted to like get up to him and everything, but unfortunately I don't think he was
he didn't play well that tournament.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
So he was kind of not into talking with people very much. But otherwise I think he's approachable.
It seems to be a fairly common story that I hear. And I think people love to hate him.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately. But you know, with him parting ways with Westside, it does make you wonder whether it was a, you know, my speculation 100%. Was it a, he's not the shining star because Matt Orem is now on the team?
So I've heard this, that perhaps bringing Matty O on had something to do with him leaving. I don't think that's the case. I think they could have coexisted. Like,
I agree.
To me, Nico and Matty O are pretty close in skill set. Like they're like rankings wise, they're within two or three probably spots of each other.
Right.
And so, and like based on that, you have a solid foundation for like a pretty good team, you know, trilogy overall, like with those two. So to say that they couldn't have coexisted, or, you know, there's someone you can't talk to, the situation is knowing we don't know details.
Right.
But I find it very hard to believe that the bringing out of Matt Orem had anything to do with Nico leaving. Eric Oakley on DGAM did say that perhaps Nico wasn't as comfortable with his discs as he thought. And, you know, 2 years where you're throwing the same plastic and maybe you're not I don't know, but you know, they went out of their way. They made he had the VIPX Fortress. The Adder was made.
Yeah.
I mean, that's supposedly one of their more overstable discs. He likes to throw overstable plastic. And you know, like, if you just don't feel comfortable with something, it's not going to work for you.
Right.
You know, you got to be confident in what you're throwing. And if you're not confident in what you're throwing, you know, it kind of does something with you.
Well, it doesn't matter how many trespassers you put in my hand. I don't like them.
Oh, really?
I do not like them. Wow. I've tried so many times because the hype is real. People throw those things awesome. And we have guys in our club that throw them so good.
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan throws them very well. They're not me. It's not my style. It's not my jam. Like, I I don't like them. I just don't like them. And I think that's the same thing, you know, that could be said with Nico. He just wasn't vibing with those discs.
Yeah.
If that's the case, great. And only him and Westside will know.
Exactly. You know,
I don't think that'll ever come out. Well, Nico's not bashful. If he ever wants to talk about it, he would be the one to say something about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's no NDAs, you know, I'm sure.
No.
So, but yeah, I don't know.
Some other people were saying they're not surprised by this happening at all. Like,
right.
It's not like it's tough to say, like, did he wear out his welcome? Like what? Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was a matter of time. I was more surprised when he actually took the sponsorship.
Yes.
Than actually him leaving.
That caught me off guard when he actually decided to sign with somebody. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Cause he's always been that independent, free will, like crazy dresser.
Yeah.
You know, that never had a logo on his back. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he did, but like DD, you know, he had DD's logo back in the day when they didn't do discs and he was a Gateway guy. I mean, his uncle or something is a Gateway or Legacy.
Oh man, I don't remember.
Pretty sure it's Gateway. I think his uncle owns Gateway. Yeah. I'm 90% sure. Tell us if we're wrong. But and then I wanted to say he was with Prodigy for a short bit.
Yes.
About a year, year and a half.
Yes, I believe so.
But yeah, he's always just kind of, and every time between those two, he was, and then Daredevil. So, you know, you go through all those and each time there was a little bit of time between each of them where he was solo.
Yep.
You know, and it fits Nico. I like it. I mean, he could run the Drew Gibson route and just pay himself, you know, with his winnings.
Yeah.
Instead of relying on, you know, a manufacturer sponsor. Cause I don't think a manufacturer will pick him up, at this point anymore. Cause I think he has branded himself, unfortunately, as a troublemaker, you know?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I love what he brings to the sport, and I'm probably unpopular opinion, but it's my opinion. Deal with it. So let's talk about Des Redding.
Yeah.
I think the bigger picture, Innova. What do you think?
It seems like a lot of people are jumping ship from Innova.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, Des legend in the game.
Right. Absolutely.
Long time Innova thrower, signing with Mint Discs,
mm-hmm.
which is local. She's a Texas native.
Yep. So she's based out of Texas.
Yep.
It has a fairly slim lineup, but
the people who throw their discs absolutely love them.
Oh, yeah, very cultish.
Very cultish.
Yep.
Yes. I have a couple discs of theirs, Free Tails mm-hmm. and Mustang. Love the Free Tail. Very understable, but still a really awesome disc.
Mm-hmm. I love the feel of the bullet. I've never thrown any of them. I've
only held the bullet. I have a bullet too. Yeah, I forgot I have the bullet. And so, I don't know what the end of a part is fascinating to me because you have her legend of the game,
mm-hmm.
like, and she, you know, like, and she's an icon, but maybe not necessarily the biggest name for Innova right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, legacy player, but, you know, going to Mint, I honestly don't know many, I don't know any sponsored players on Mint discs.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I don't know how big their team is or who's throwing for them, but you get a name like hers, instant recognition.
Right. Right.
Right. And so to be able to see that out on tour, get your name and your brand more out on tour, if she is planning a full tour, like, I don't know
what her plans are. Yeah. I don't think it's been discussed.
No, I don't think it has either. A lot of people are saying that she's going to go, like, maybe her and Julianne will go the, like, Sarah Holcomb route, like, skip some of the bigger West Coast, you know, because mm-hmm. they don't have lead distance. They're known for more accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, hit some of the, like, maybe pick up the tour in Texas or something. You know, you hit some of that wooded golf or,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah, but kind of mind blowing. She also had a position with the PDGA.
Yep. Yep.
And so, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And so I did notice as well, Mint had a disc approved recently called GOAT. Just G, GOAT. And then
G-O-A-T.
G-O-A-T. Okay. And then after that, it was a bunch of different ways of having it, like G period O period A-T, and then the greatest of all time, then the GOAT. So I'm wondering if this is going to be a signature series disc of hers.
Or for Des Redding.
For Des Redding.
Ah, yeah. I like that.
And that kind of also put, you know, that also says what Mint thinks of her.
Right, right. Well, and a jab at Innova, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's purposeful, but...
No, but...
Unintentional jab at Innova.
Yeah.
You know, but Innova... So I want to talk about Innova a bit. I don't want to, you know... I agree with you on Des Redding. I think it's awesome. I think I'm glad that there's a company that values who Des Redding is. Let's talk about Innova and the... And I think manufacturers in general, because DD has a little bit of this as well. Some of the Trilogy brand has a little bit of this as well. But people and Prodigy.
Yeah.
People leaving in droves. And why? So Innova, it's no secret out there. It's talked about quite a bit in circles that players don't feel valued by Innova. And goes all the way back to Valerie Jenkins, Valerie Doss.
Yeah.
And she's very vocal about that. Not in a malicious way, but she's very vocal that she felt that the Upshot? No, Upshot. What? No, not the Upshot. Nate Sexton's podcast.
Oh, Running It.
Running It. Yeah. So Running It with Nate Sexton, they had a conversation with her, and she's very open about how, you know, she was a three-time world champion, never got a disc. Until the very end, because she had the Starfire, if I remember rightly. I have one of those. Ooh, nice. So, in my rack.
I
do,
I vaguely remember this. I listened to that episode quite a while ago.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't know her from Adam, so I can't tell you personally anything, but it very much sounds like she was unhappy. And, you know, they've seen many of players leave. It sounds like Heimberg's not happy from the grumblings you're getting.
Yeah.
It's pretty positive that Ricky's gone.
It seems that way. Yeah. I mean,
so Tuesday the 4th, we'll find out that he's on Team DD. You heard it here first, folks. This is going to come out after that.
Biggest disc golf contract in history is what is being put out there.
In the Emporia Gazette.
Yes.
The Emporia Gazette is showing that there is an FPO and an MPO player coming into Didi's team that will be a multiple Elite Series winner, and they will be the largest contracts that Disc Golf has seen. Not saying the largest, but the largest contracts that Disc Golf has seen.
For that part, for up to this point.
Yeah. Up to this point.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's not the 10 years, 10 million.
No.
But it'll be up there. With everything.
I'm sure there's incentives with discs and other things that, you know, push the limits on what the contract is. Yeah.
Right. So with all of that, so we tangented a little bit. I know that's not a word, but it is now. what do you think about players and contracts? So we've talked about Nico, we've talked about Dez, we've talked about Ricky, we've talked about Heimborg, we've talked about Valerie, when is it time to call it quits, both for the player and for the contract? Because we've talked about this before. Disc golf is a buddy sport.
Yep, absolutely.
Nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. But where do you draw the line on that? So with Westside Nico, with, you know, on and on. We can keep going.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line with that? So for me, I look at... what's happening at Innova, it seems like the players are making that choice, not the manufacturer, because the players feel that they're undervalued. And we saw a little bit of that with DD, where DD is slowly losing their players as well. And I think that's manufacturer-driven, player-decided. So we had the mass exodus when Paige left. We had about four or five people that left. So
yep, Paige, Missy Gannon.
Yeah, Paige, Missy Gannon. I think those are your Grady Shoe left. That was so there was quite a few players that left. And then most recently, Eric Oakley.
Yes.
That might have been a grass is greener for Eric Oakley, but it's also telling that DD is not willing to meet the expectations of the player.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Innova, getting back to them, I really feel that there's an internal issue with Innova that they think they're too big to fail. And they don't think their players are valuable in what they do as a business.
The players to them are just the cog that getting their products out. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And so from what I understand too, is Innova has kind of always had handshake deals. There's never been like written contracts, you know, that's always like, okay, 1 year deal, verbally commit, you know, and then like re-up, you know, mm-hmm. based on whatever, you know, and you have everybody's got different tiers of teams. Mm-hmm. So like right now I'm not totally sure on highest level's gotta be like Calvin, Ricky, as of right, like,
right.
And, you know, until the new year, like this is what we know for now. So if you're somebody down on the pecking order and you're like, hey, I really, you know, can you guys help me with, you know, my like this, you know, fundraising disc, tour series disc, whatever it is, mm-hmm. to help me get out on the road. Like, you know, okay, we can make you so many discs. Well, that's not enough to help me sustain being out. And they're like, well, take it or leave it.
Right.
You know, how do you tell in like, well, you're like, well, okay, I want to stay with you, so I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
That as a lower tiered player, like you kind of have to go with that. As an upper tier player, those players now have more power than we kind of have seen, like
by negotiating power.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, and then with this, and there's a new push, you know, with, like DG, what is it? DGA,
Disc Golf Player Manager, DGDM. Yes.
That's their, you know, empowering players even more. They're like mm-hmm. discussing, they're handling the negotiations of contracts. Like Eric Oakley signed with them. Matt Bell, did he sign with them?
I believe so. Yeah, they've had a slew of players.
Yeah, I don't think it was like they recently. Said like seven or eight, but like, yeah. Ricky's got a new group.
There's another player management group.
Yeah, I think it's called Schaefer.
Yep, Schaefer. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was recently talking. So players are now understanding their worth through these people that are helping them understand. Here's what we can help you with. Here's mm-hmm. how we can get you to this point. Now, when they go into negotiations, it's not necessarily the player anymore going into negotiations. It's these companies. And they're like, well, you can do this for my client,
mm-hmm.
or you can leave, or we're going to walk.
Yep.
And we can go find somebody else that maybe can give us this.
Well, and contracts that have been made public, 10 years, $10 million, $250,000 for 2 years.
Yeah.
That was Chris and Tatar's. So you're starting to see these larger numbers come out there and being public. And I think that's another bargaining chip that these players are using.
I still think players like, you know, talk behind the scenes on tour and stuff. Absolutely. So they all know, you know, what everybody's getting or what, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what percentage of disc sales are getting, or, you know, stuff like their numbers. Right. They're aware of numbers.
And the grumblings of Chris Dickerson potentially leaving Prodigy because he found out what Kevin Jones is making.
Yeah.
And that's all speculation, Reddit post, you know, wherever. So take those with what you will. But I think all that power and education is happening. And I think in the past, manufacturers, and don't get it wrong, we have a team, and the purpose of our team is a marketing wing of our team with indoor disc golf. Now, we have a duty to give them what we feel is equitable pay for products. Yep. But it's an agreement between us and that player.
Yep.
And I think that's exactly how it's been now. And that's how it's always been, because a player can always say, no, I don't want to be on your team.
That's true.
They don't have to say yes.
Yeah.
So it's not like these folks are handcuffed into accepting what Innova is giving them. But on the other hand, Innova is starting to see the fact that they are undervaluing their players. So there has to be a market shift within their thinking of what they're giving their players. I don't think it's going to happen, because when you're at the top of the mountain, like, how much higher can you climb until someone knocks you down a few rungs?
Yeah.
I think Discraft is going to be that company.
I was just going to say that Discraft's getting mighty close to getting getting that and, top spot.
And don't count out L64. I mean, don't count out the Trilogy brands because, I mean, if when Ricky signs, I think that's going to only boost L64 back, or excuse me, DD back.
Yeah.
I think the king will be dethroned soon, and I think that's going to create a change within Innova's thinking, if I'm correct on how they're treating their players.
I can see that.
And that's just the business side of what I'm thinking, because there's always a give and take with how you treat your customers or your employees, and you have to play that game back and forth. And it's not a game, it's just reality. You just got to play back and forth. You got to figure out what's an equitable wage, and especially nowadays where everything's going up in price, everything's getting more expensive, being on the road is harder, average cost of gas is more expensive, repairing vehicles is more expensive. I mean, on and on and on. I won't bore anybody with it. But when you add all that together, you have to look at Innova and say, what's next? It's your turn. We've made the sacrifices. Now it's your turn. So that's where I'm at with the player. I guess I don't have much else to say because I feel like I'm beating a dead horse.
What's it going to take for Innova? What do you think it's going to take Innova to realize that, though? Like, is it Ricky leaving? Is it having more? Like, how thin can their team get? Or, you know, because they'll always have sales. It's like, oh man, Sexton Firebirds or Germ Birds, or like they have desirable discs that are just going to keep them, you know, top or near the top.
Right. I think it's going to be yes. We'll say that.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be something like Sexton, Heimberg. It has to click at one point, or it may be the transition of ownership. At one point or another, Donna Pace is going to step away.
Yeah.
And maybe or maybe not, he's making those decisions. I don't know. I don't know the internal workings of how they, maybe there's a CFO or a COO or a CEO that steps in behind him that makes the operational decisions. But I think Dave Dunapace, or whomever that person is, whoever that figurehead is, when they make their change and their organizational change, that's when it's going to happen. You know, it's just like anything. So most people have been in schools. Most people understand the transition of presidents in schools. And maybe not, but you know, there's always a growth president. There's always a president within a university that will grow the university. They're going to build the coffers. They're going to build the buildings. They're going to do all that stuff. And while they're there, their fundraising is going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Their regents is going to grow. I mean, everything's going to go crazy. And you need someone to follow in behind that to maintain what has been grown now. And I think Innova's at that point where they've gone crazy, they're growing, and I think they've overstayed the growth, that mindset, that we need to preserve all we can, do all that. So now they need that guy in there to start working on managing what has been grown.
Sure.
So I think Dave Dunapace, whoever that is, I think it's going to be a transition point that's going to cause that. And I think that's going to come through. The catalyst is going to be a major player either stepping up and saying this is wrong or stepping away from them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Players just, I wish players would be more open as to the real reasons they're stepping away, but that's not going to happen.
No, it's buddy golf.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, buddy golf.
I really enjoyed my time with this company. I felt like it was time to step away.
Right.
The real reasons will never be brought forth.
No. And rightfully so in a lot of ways. Cause you know, I mean, there's been employees that I've had that we've parted ways and we have fantastic relationships and we have conversations to this day, but would I want that split public? Maybe not, because I can act like a jackass, excuse my language. And I've made bad decisions and I learn from them. If it came to light, you know, some of the decisions that were made in those, excuse the language again, the jackassery moments where I was immature in what I was thinking, or maybe I was uneducated or whatever it was, it would suck.
Yeah.
You know, I would really be bummed about it, but there were decisions I made. I'd stand behind them, you know, it would suck. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So yes, I think it's going to take some big name like Nate Sexton, Jeremy Colling, you know, their poster boys, or it's going to take the transition of power. So Dave Dunipace is the figurehead of the company currently, maybe, you know, maybe there's a CEO, a CFO, COO that makes a lot of these decisions, but you know, there's going to have to be a transition in power that's going to change their mindset. You know, I use a comparison of, you know, a college president. There are certain college presidents that have purpose in what they do. So there's fundraising, there's building, and then there's maintaining. So college presidents during times of growth are the people that are going to build the money, you know, put the money in the coffers, have the big plans, build the buildings, you know, make the growth. And then you have to bring someone in behind that that's going to maintain what has been grown. And I think where they're at right now is that, you know, Dave is the president that grew it. He's the guy that started it. He's the guy that grew it. He's the guy that's going to, you know, saw it to where it is now. But maybe it's a time for transition. You know, maybe it's a time for someone to step in that sees the value in the players or sees the business differently and starts to put it in a maintenance mode and maintains what has been grown. Am I saying that Innova's done growing? No. But am I saying that the need of transition is there? Most likely, possibly. I don't know the inner workings of Innova. But from the outside looking in, there's definitely something there. There's some truth behind what all these players are moving and why people are, you know, jumping ship. And I think the same thing can be said to a lesser extent with DD over the past 4 years. You know, they had a lot of people leave. I think we've already mentioned that.
Right.
And I think there's might be some internal strife where there's a transition in direction from being this super close family that Didi once was to now we need to put a marketing force out there in the form of a player. So we're going to start slashing budgets and putting more money towards these two top tier players.
I could see that. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like when, so when Ricky left, Paige left, they're trying to move money into players' pockets. They're trying to give players better contracts. They want to have that tight, close-knit family feel. And, you know, I think the players that they had at the time, you know, you had still had Paige Hsu, you had Zach Melton, Eric Oakley, Chris Clemens. I'm trying to think of who else. But
we had Grady Hsu. You had Ricky, Missy Gannon, just in that whole group of individuals.
Right. So, yeah, like I think they were achieving what they wanted. But as time goes on, people's interests shift. Everybody's interest shifts. Or, you know, they see the inner workings. They're like, oh, we're doing this. Well, maybe you guys can do a little more for me.
Right, right.
Right. But I do think, too, that so from, I mean, from what I understand, too, is DD is very DD-centric. They want you to use everything that's theirs. This does not allow for players to get out and explore other sponsorships with, like, whether it be bags or clothing. Like, you're very branded to them. And that stunt, that can stunt a player's growth financially,
right?
You know,
right.
You know, just like, yeah. So I mean, it's very hard to stay in that in one lane without wanting to,
escape. And you know, being creative with sponsorships, I understand the business practicality behind that because they offer all those lines. Yeah. So why wouldn't you want your players to wear everything branded DD? I mean, yes, yeah. Of course, you know, but maybe thinking outside the box, what do you think of an idea of, we're DD, we're sponsoring you, you're going to throw our discs. If you throw our bags, here's also what we're going to give you. I mean, we're going to throw your bags.
Yeah.
If you,
we'll throw them around.
Yeah. Throw your bags over our shoulders.
Right.
Over your shoulder. Wow, man. This is what we'll give you. If you're going to pull one of our carts, our Zuka carts that are branded DD, this is what we'll give you. If you're going to wear our polos or, you know, whatever. I mean, you don't want to get so granular that every little thing is worth, but you know, maybe it is one of those things. Hey, you can go to Grip and grab a bag sponsorship or Squatch or, you know, whatever it may be.
Upper Park, whoever.
Upper Park, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what we'll give you to rep our bags.
Yeah.
You know, and as a business owner, I would look at that and say, hey to the no, you know, absolutely no way, because that's my brand.
Yeah.
And if you're going to rep my brand, you're going to be in my pocket. And hopefully I'll fatten your pockets. I mean, what do you think?
I think I side with the players. I think you, as a player, you want to reach your full growth. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand. So I had a Commander bag for a while. Mm-hmm. OGO made, really good quality. DD, I didn't re-up the contract with them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe players are like, well, your bags aren't as good of quality as we used to have, so I would rather not use them. Would you allow me to explore going outside of this? Now, we don't know contracts, like, as far as people or anybody signing with that, but it just seems very, you know, very business-minded that you're with us, you rep our brands. But
indeed, he started as a brand, not as a manufacturer.
No.
So maybe that's part of that transition.
Maybe
that
it
hasn't
is.
Been completed yet.
Right.
But
I think, like, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the contracts are, you sign with us, it's the whole brand, mm-hmm. like discs, mm-hmm. everything, mm-hmm. where, you know, other manufacturers are, we're just discs.
Right.
Go and clothes.
Right.
You know, bags are, you're free to go explore mm-hmm. whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So,
but Innova, you know, I'm getting back to Innova. Innova has their own line of bags.
They do, yeah.
And MVP mm-hmm. has their own line. Prodigy has their own line.
Yep.
So,
I mean, I see Kevin Jones carrying the bags or Kuchina, but you know, with Innova, Calvin, Grip, like Germ has a pound.
Pound, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so does Sexton.
Yep.
Sexton rocks a pound.
Yeah.
Discraft, Yuli, Zuka.
Yeah. Paul and Paige are both Grip.
Paul and Paige are both Grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But within DD, you're right. I mean, they're running the Commanders and the Rangers and Ranger H2Os and Combat Rangers.
Yep.
And yeah. And I think some of them are rocking some carts, the DD branded Zukas.
Yep.
But yeah, I can see it. You know, I look at it from a player's view. It does stifle the ability for them to make the most of their brand.
Mm-hmm.
The players.
The players. Brand. Yeah.
And the flip side, if DD allows them to go out and rock another bag, like someone wants to run a Ridge Roller.
Yeah.
You know, or someone wants to RIP Delta, if someone wants a Delta cart,
yeah.
You know, they can't do that because DD has their own.
Well, then they're like, well, why is this player not repping this bag? Like, you know, like that speaks to the, like, well, maybe they're, you know, they just,
yeah.
They're like, oh no, this player is not repping. Yeah.
So do you think that is a hindrance to DD? Do you think that's part of why they haven't been able to sign any of these large players, although they are going to, but
right.
Do you think that's what's been some of it, or has it just been basically we've been stashing away cash to pull the trigger on these large contracts?
I feel like that's partially they've been holding out to sign players for years that they haven't signed. I don't think they signed anybody last year.
Nobody of note.
Right. So they've been holding out knowing that the possibly players are available this coming season.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, my thought is that they're just holding out to make a splash.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to.
Yeah.
I think they're going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to see within the next couple of weeks what is going to come to mm-hmm. fruition with Prodigy and DD and Discraft and Innova. To yeah. see the moves and shakes, because it's already been awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm curious. So we were just talking about the bag sponsors. Ricky
mm-hmm.
rolls with R3,
right? Well, not anymore.
Oh no, really?
Not anymore. Oh. They dropped their sponsorship. So, you know, we know. Well, I don't know if you know, but I know Joe Robinson.
Yeah.
I know Brad Zarowski.
Okay.
They're both. And this is no offense to them. I didn't think, and I'm sure it was Ricky's approval, so it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. But those bags were ugly. I hate to say it.
The Raptor bags?
The Raptor bags were ugly. Their carts are awesome. And the regular bags that they have, you know, especially like the Hailstorm ones and stuff, like yep. the different colors they have, they're fantastic. But those Ricky bags were just not great aesthetically.
Yeah.
They're a quality bag.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, they got the seat. You can sit on them, like, the steel frame inside, you know, right. real rigid, real solid.
Right. They're awesome. But, man, that, like...
I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I do too. You want to play off the Raptor.
Yeah.
Like, the, Raptor Ricky. Yeah. You
yeah.
Raptor bag.
And I get it. And Ricky had full rights to say no, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he approved it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was great. But, yeah, they did part ways.
Okay.
And that is another reason why I think he's going to DD.
Okay.
Because they're the only ones yeah. that will not allow their players to rock anything else.
Right.
Although when he was on Lat 64, he rocked the Delta.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they had their contract with Zuka at that time. Because that's been, what, 4 years?
Yeah, easily.
Now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, four or 5 years. So,
yeah, I forgot he had the Delta cart.
Yep. Yeah, he's a member. That was the whole... putting violation. I don't know if you remember that. It was at the Memorial, and he was on Fountain, and he'd had his hand on the cart was in front of his lie,
yes.
and he putted, and they wanted to call him foot fault. There was a big controversy about it.
I do remember that now.
His hand was on the Delta cart. So, yeah, I don't know. So you think we've exhausted our conversation on that one?
I think so.
All right. So... I guess outside of that, JP, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jkdcdiscgolf and on TikTok at diskin.jk.
All right. You heard it here first. And you can find me at door_disc_golf. So door_disc_golf on Instagram. And you can find us on Facebook at Door Disc Golf Store. And you can find us on our website, www.doordisc.com. And other than that, keep it subpar. See you around. Peace.